we continue. So I don't think we need to go into another analogy to explain this. You have understood how painful this is. And there is another kind of Kama Loka. This Kama Loka is a mixture of pleasure and pain. Now, the first one I told you about is the Devaloka, where there is only pleasure, no pain. And the Nirayas, where there is only pain and no pleasure. Now, in between, there is the mixed world. And the mixed worlds are also, there are several mixed worlds. Out of the mixed worlds, the best mixed world is the human world. The human world, you get both pleasure and pain. Sometimes pain, sometimes pleasure. That is the mixed world that you get in the human world. And there again you find some people have more comfort, like the rich people or in some rich countries and all that. And there are the poor people who are living in poor places, and there are also the people who are in hospitals, sick, and various kinds of degrees of pleasure and pain you get. So it's not always pleasure, not always pain. And one person will have pleasure, a lot of pleasure sometimes, sometimes pain and all kinds of things like that. Now, then there is what is called the animal world. The animals are always in fear, because they are worried that some other animal will come and catch them and eat them. So this is what happens. One animal eats the other animal. So that, and they are always not having food. They have to just wait. You have seen these spiders who have to just have a web, and then they have to just wait, keep on waiting till some other fly or someone gets into this. Otherwise they'll be starving. So you don't really have food all the time. And even the birds, they're not having food all the time. And all these animals, they don't have food all the time. But then they, at the same time, sometimes they might meet another animal, like male will meet a female or something like that, and then they'll have kind of pleasure there, and then again they don't know at what time another animal will come and catch them and eat them. So you see, the animal world is always in fear all the time. But at the same time, from time to time, they have some kind of pleasure also when they get the food or things like that. Then there are the pretas, the pretas. These are a kind of spirit world. These pretas are not visible to the human eye, and some of these pretas are able to see the human beings. But the human beings are not able to see the pretas. So we have to understand that our eye is also limited. We don't see everything, because our eye is able to detect only certain frequencies of light. And so everything, our eye, it's not only the eye, the ear is also like that. The nose is also like that, limited to certain areas. And taste is like that. even touch is like that. So our senses are limited. But these yogis who meditate, they can get more things through the senses due to the development of the mind, you see. So it's very important to understand that. And so we have these mixed worlds like that. So the human world, the animal world, and the preta world. And then, of course, the Devalokas, the Buddha has spoken of really six Devalokas. There are the Devalokas very close to the earth, like the Vruksha Devatas. There are Devas who they are also invisible to the human eye, but they also live associated with the smells of trees, the flowers and the smells of the trees. And so they are the Vruksha Devatas. So there were four kinds of Devas. They are called the Chatur Maharajika. And these Devas are really, they have four kinds of names, like the Yakas, the Nagas, the Kumbandas, and the Gandhabas. These are some Devas like that. Now that word Yakka, we think Yakka is a bad demon or something like that. But the real meaning of Yakka is sometimes it's a name for Devas. And people, when they really speak about Devas helping human beings and all that, they are really referring to these Devas in this lower Deva world, what is called the Chatur Maharajika Devas. And then there are the higher Deva Loka called the Thavatimsa. The Thavatimsa. And there the chief is the Sakra. And the Chatur Maharajika Devas are really assistants to the Thavatimsa Devas. The Thavatimsa Devas are like the ministers. And the Chatur Maharajika Devas are like the workers or people who work for the ministers. So they also have meetings where it's like a king having a conference with the ministers like that, like the parliamentary meetings. There are things like that. But you have to understand that these Devas are not solids and liquids like what we see in the human world. Some Devas, their bodies are like gas, you see. Now gas is not something visible to us. And matter can also exist in different forms. It can be in solid form or liquid form. And when it is in gas form, we don't see. Now here, there is gas here. Now, because scientists have been saying there is gas here, we think there is gas. Otherwise, we don't know that there is gas here. So, although we breathe the gas, we don't know that there is gas here. We don't know that there is a thing called oxygen or nitrogen or hydrogen or any of these things. And so like that, We have the Devalokas, there are six Devalokas, one becoming better than the other, and the Yama Devas superior to the Tavatimsa, and the Tusita superior to the Yama Devas, and then there is the Nimmana Rati Devas and Paranimmita Vasavati. These are the six Devalokas. And beyond the Devalokas is the Rupa Lokas. The Rupa Lokas, the first kind of Rupa Loka is the Brahma Loka, where there is the Maha Brahma. And if you ask where these Devalokas are, the Buddha has been pointing to those things also. That means if you are familiar with what is called the solar system, that means there is the sun and the planets moving around the sun, that is called a solar system. And in the sky, in space, there are many solar systems like that. But when we see stars, the stars are really suns like that. But we don't see the planets moving around those suns because they are so far away. But we are able to see the planets moving around the sun, our sun. And so we can distinguish between sun as a star and a planet, because the star twinkles and the planet does not twinkle. That's the important thing. And so somehow there are so many stars means there is a collection of suns and solar systems, and that whole collection is called a galaxy today. And our galaxy is just only one of those galaxies. There are many galaxies in the universe. And in this galaxy, all the solar systems are again moving around a central circle. And at that center of the galaxy is the Brahma Loka. But the Devalokas are really in the solar system. That's what the Buddha pointed out. But those worlds are not visible even to the telescope, because the telescope can only see something that is reflecting light, you see. Now, if it is not reflecting light, the telescope is not able to see it. Now, a gas doesn't reflect light. If it is in a gaseous state, you don't see anything coming. And there are these light planets, but gaseous. And then there are also devas of another kind, like that is, when we go beyond to the Rupa Lokas, the Brahma Loka is really the center of the galaxy, and there again it is, the center is even less than a gas. Now today they begin to speak of, now those days when we were studying science, we learned that matter is found in three states, solids, liquids and gases. But now even the children who go to school, they know that there is another one, and that is called plasma. And plasma really is not just a gas. Gases are in molecular form, they are in molecules. But the plasma is in atomic form. So it is a finer state. And so there are also things that are in subatomic particles. So we have to understand things like that. And some of these worlds are like that. So the Brahma world is a thing like that. And but the Buddha pointed out that a person who develops psychic powers can even go up to the Brahma world. Now, in going up to the Brahma world doesn't mean going with this body like this. The mind has the power ultimately to change the body. And the body turns into gas, or it can even go into this subatomic level. And it can go as waves. And this kind of thing you can see on TV these days, because people are imagining these things. If you see Star Trek, you will see things like this happening, where people begin to change and go to another place. But these are, I think, borrowed from Buddhist books when they read these things. Some of these people who create these movies. So somehow this type of thing has happened, and the Buddha has been going to the Brahma world, and not only the Buddha, there were so many disciples who went like that. In the sutras we get these stories. So somehow the Brahma world is that. But even beyond the Brahma world, there are other worlds which are all found in energy form, not even in matter form. They are found in energy. They are only found in the Abhasara world. Abhasara means radiation. It's all found in the form of radiations, Abhasara world. And but they also have senses, and they things are visible to them. So that visibility is the rupa world. So it's called rupa because it's a picture. Rupa means a picture. So you when something is visible, it is a mental picture that you see. And of course, then there are higher worlds than that, which are called the arupa worlds. And the arupa worlds is like empty space. That is, there are no visible things there. It's like empty space. That is why akasanam chayatana is empty space. Then there is vijnanam chayatana. It is simply being conscious, that's all. And akinchanyayatana means you don't see anything there. You're not able to even experience anything. And neva sanya, nasanyayatana, these are all very subtle forms of no appearance. So these are different worlds that people can be reborn in, but according to the level that the mind has calmed down. So the mind can calm down to a high degree through meditation. And so according to that level, you are reborn in those worlds. But what the Buddha pointed out is that all these worlds are impermanent. That means there is death in all these worlds. There is no real permanence anywhere. Even if you go to the highest heaven, when your life ends there, You can come down to the human world, or you can even go to the Niras. If you have been doing bad things in the previous lives. So this is why there is no real safety even if you go to the heavens. And the other thing is, once you go to the Niras, it is very difficult to come out. So the Buddha compared that to a story that I told you earlier, like the Kasbava, who is that the turtle who was inside and coming up only once in 100 years, and that piece of wood with the hole in it, it has to come there, and this person with the turtle with the one eye should be able to see through this hole. So it's so difficult once you enter the Niras. And the other problem is that our natural tendency is to desire things and to hate things and to get frightened. That means the emotions come to us naturally. And therefore, it is very difficult to gain control over the emotions. And then what will be the result? We'll be born in bad places, not in good places, as a result. So continuation of samsara means to continue in bad places. Very rarely a person will purify the mind and be reborn in the good places. Most of the time people get angry, they begin to get attached to things, desires, worries, anxieties, fears. All this is creating bad karma. Very few people will be really purifying the mind, and it is only those people who will be reborn in the good places. So, although we think samsara is a nice place to continue living, it's not so. So, this is why it is necessary to purify the mind, and that is why meditation becomes very important in our lives. And it is through meditation that we can really calm the mind and purify the mind by thinking good thoughts. And so I hope you understood the importance of meditation. And we'll stop here so that you can ask questions now. Do you have questions? No questions, huh?
I have a simple one. Huh? I don't know if it's a stupid one, but I ask.
Produced by the emotions. This is the important thing to understand. It is the emotions, because the emotions are self-centered. All emotions are self-centered. A desire is a self-centered emotion. Anger is a self-centered emotion. Fear is a self-centered emotion. Worry is a self-centered emotion. All emotions are self-centered. And it is this emotion that produces the thought of self.
So how does I separate from my body? That is my issue. I have my body, I have myself. Are they interrelated?
No. There is no self separate from the body. These are not two different things. Self is only a concept. A concept is really the activity of the brain. The thinking process in the brain is producing this concept of self. But that concept of self is produced because of the emotion. Emotion is making you think self.
What you are telling is that these are two entities.
There are no two entities. There is only one entity. That is the body. It's like the engine and the working of the engine. When you turn on the switch, the engine begins to work. And so it pulls the car. But if you turn it off, the engine stops working and the car won't move. So if you think the engine, there something comes into the engine and starts pulling, like a bull or a horse or something like that, there is no such thing like that. There is only the engine. So the body is the engine. And this engine, called the body, is actually working all the time. It never stops till you die. It is only at the moment of death that the engine stops. So from birth, it goes on working. The heart begins to beat. The beating of the heart ends only at the moment of death. But we think there is a self separate from the body, but there is no such thing. There is no mind separate from the body. Mind is simply the activity of the body. And the other thing is, there are no entities in the world. Entity means an object that exists. There are no entities in the world. All the entities that something like a body that occupies space is all a creation of the mind. There are only activities, no entities.
So how can we explain, if I take a picture from my camera, nothing to do, doesn't have any mental activities on that equipment.
Picture has no mental activities.
But I can see an image.
Huh?
I can, film can see a picture.
You can see a picture, yes.
In the film roll or in the CD.
Yeah. But that picture is really a mental picture. That is what you should understand. Because what is really happening is light falls on that and it is reflected and comes to the eye. And the picture is really created inside your mind. What you see there is not the picture. This is only reflecting light, that's all. And when some places reflect one vibration, one frequency, another place reflects another frequency. So you get colors, you begin to see colors because of that. So when we see colors and shapes, we begin to create the object in our mind. That is what is happening. There is nothing really there. All a creation of the mind. Even when we think of the body, it's also a creation of the mind. When we see other people's bodies, that is also a creation of the mind. That's the important thing to understand.
How to stop that creation then?
Why do you want to stop it? No, you don't have to stop that. You only have to understand that it is only a creation of your mind. And you can stop it through meditation.
Mental pictures?
Yeah. That is, you have to calm the mind. That means that it is the activity of the brain that is the what we call the mind. And that activity can be slowly calmed down. And when it is calmed down, you stop seeing anything. And that is, when you reach the jhana called the akasananchayatana jhana, you see only empty space, you don't see anything. Even if there are objects in front of you, you don't see the objects. Because the mental activity has stopped. Other people might see objects, but you don't see. Because your eyes are open, but still you don't see. Because that mental activity has stopped.
Do you reach that stage?
Huh?
Do you reach that stage when you have purified your mind?
Yeah. Now, purifying the mind, first thing is to free the mind of emotional excitements. That is the first level of purification. So when your mind is free of emotional excitement, you enter the first jhana. That is what is called first jhana. Now in the first jhana there is no mental excitement. So the emotion is not there. But there is seeing. You might see things and you might form concepts about what you see. You begin to interpret what you see. When you enter the second jhana, that formation of concepts also stops. You don't form concepts. You might see, but you don't think about what you see and form a concept. You don't identify. You might see a chair, but you don't think chair. Now, that means there is perception, but there is no conception. Right? Now, when you enter the third jhana, perception continues. But the, how do I say? Now you have to, I have to explain, there are things called jhanangas. Jhananga means in the jhana there are five characteristics of the jhana. Vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. Now, vitakka, vichara is the formation of concepts. Then, piti is happiness. Sukha means comfort. Now, when the mind is purified and the mind is tranquil, the tensions in the body relax. When the body relaxes, you feel comfortable. And when the mind is free of emotional excitements, the mind feels happy. The happiness and the comfort. Comfort is the physical comfort. Happiness is a mental state. That is the piti and the sukha. And ekagata. Ekagata is the tranquility of the mind, undisturbed state of the mind. Ekagata. And when you enter the first jhana, all those five things are there: vitakka, vichara, piti, sukha, ekagata. When you enter the second jhana, the vitakka vichara disappear. And you are left with piti, sukha and ekagata. Happiness is there, the comfort is there, and the tranquility is there. When you enter the third jhana, the priti disappears, because at that point even the priti becomes an agitation of the mind, the happiness. So you calm the mind further and that happiness disappears. You have only the comfort. You have the comfort and ekagata, tranquility. Then, when you enter the fourth jhana, the comfort also disappears. Now, comfort disappears doesn't mean you become uncomfortable. Both comfort and discomfort disappears. So you are in a very calm, tranquil state. There is no happiness or unhappiness. There is no comfort or discomfort. It's complete tranquility of mind. And that is the fourth jhana. So like that you can keep on tranquilizing the mind. And when you go further, the perception of forms disappear. That means you don't see the chairs or the tables or walls or anything. What you begin to experience is only empty space. You don't see anything. When you look, there is only empty space. That perceptual process is calming down now. And then when you go further, you come to Vijnanañcayatana, which means even empty space disappears. You don't even see empty space at that point. So you are only feeling that you are conscious, that's all. And then you give up the consciousness also. And then you feel there is nothing. You don't experience anything now. Now that first teacher of the Buddha, Alara Kalama, had reached that point. So Prince Siddhartha, he learned from Alara Kalama to come to that point. And then he wanted to go further. And then the next teacher was able to teach him to enter the second step, to go beyond that, which was neither perception nor non-perception. That is a midway between perception, because all perception stops almost there, almost stopped. But that is the what is called the threshold of consciousness. You are at the threshold. You know what a threshold is? Just at the door. Just going beyond that. And then the next... Now up to that point he learned from the two teachers, but he wanted to go beyond that. There was no one to teach him. So he went on his own from there on. And there he went to Sanya Vedaita Nirodha. That means the Sanya and the Vedana stop. So when that stopped, the mental activity stopped completely. All mental activity ceases at that point. So he went to that point. Now some people think that was nirvana, that is not nirvana. So it was a temporary state and he came out of that. Now, as he was coming out of that, he began to see how the mind is creating the whole world. That whole activity of the mind is ultimately creating the whole world. And he also saw how the world is not only being created, now the emotions are aroused from that. And the emotional involvements begin. Once the world is created, and then you begin to have emotional relationships with the world. And that is how you begin to form a concept of a self and a world. That you begin to form the concept of a self as something that is separated from the world. And that is what you regard as mine or myself. So you begin to personalize certain things. So once it is personalized, that becomes yourself. So you have a separate part which you call the self, and another part that you call not-self. So the not-self is the world part. And so that is how the idea of self and you are living in the world. I am here, I live in the world, that concept. I am living in the world. And so you have relationships, and then you begin to become angry, you begin to want things, get frustrated, disappointed, unhappy. All the unhappiness and worries, anxieties come as a result of that. And that explanation of that whole thing is what is called the Paticca Samuppada. So what he really saw was this Paticca Samuppada. We can discuss the Paticca Samuppada later. So I hope you understood.
So that is the time he attained? Huh? Is that the time he attained enlightenment?
Yeah. It is not enlightenment, it is awakening. Awakening means like awakening from sleep, because you were sleeping and dreaming of these things. Now you have awoken from that. So it's awakening rather than enlightenment. You see, if you are all sleeping here, and I switch on the light, if it is dark, and then I switch on the light, you are still sleeping. So enlightenment is like that, just switching on the light. If your eyes were open, then of course you will see things. But if your eyes were closed, you will not see anything. So enlightenment is simply, my telling you these things is enlightenment. And if you understand what I am saying, if your eyes were open, you will understand what I am saying, and then that is enlightenment. But still, that is not waking up from the sleep. So, awakening is a different thing. So, but you can start with the enlightenment, then you can awaken after that by following what is called the Noble Eightfold Path. Is simply, that process has to be continued till you become awakened. That's what it means. Any more questions? So if you have no more questions, I hope you understood. You have one? No. So we'll bring this to an end. And so our custom is to... eyes were closed, you will not see anything. So enlightenment is simply, my telling you these things is enlightenment. And if you understand what I am saying, if your eyes were open, you will understand what I am saying, and then that is enlightenment. But still, that is not waking up from the sleep. So awakening is a different thing. So, but you can start with the enlightenment, then you can awaken after that by following what is called the Noble Eightfold Path is simply that process has to be continued till you become awakened. That's what it means. Any more questions? So if you have no more questions, I hope you understood. You have one? No. So we'll bring this to an end.